Welcome to the deep dive. You ever feel like, I don't know, just overloaded with information? Like the internet is just too much sometimes.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think we all hit that point.
Well, good news. There's this it's called cognitive load theory, CLT.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that.
It helps explain like why we get overwhelmed, but the good thing is it also tells us what to do about it.
That's really useful.
Yeah, for this deep dive, we've got these two blog posts by Gary Ackerman.
Okay.
He's let me see, yeah, an expert in like technology management and education from hackscience.education.
Nice.
So that background is perfect for this, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially these days with tech everywhere,
Totally.
Hmm.
Okay, so CLT, it's all about how our brains handle information when we're trying to learn something new.
Right.
And Ackerman breaks it down into three types of, I guess you could call it mental effort.
Yeah, mental effort, yeah.
So there's intrinsic, extraneous, and germane load.
Three different kinds of load.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Ah! Okay, so first up, intrinsic load. That's like the effort needed to just understand the thing itself.
Okay, so like the basic difficulty of the topic.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
So like learning to ride a bike, that's going to be way harder or have a higher intrinsic load than like learning the alphabet.
Right, because riding a bike takes more mental effort to get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay, but then there's this other one. This is where it gets tricky. I think extraneous load.
Oh, what's that?
So that's the mental effort that we waste on things that don't actually help us learn.
Okay.
It's like distractions and obstacles.
So it's like stuff that gets in the way of actually understanding.
Yes.
Got it.
Oh my gosh, I experience this all the time. Like trying to learn new software, but the interface is
Oh,
terrible.
yeah, I hate that.
Or like those instruction manuals that are just so poorly written. You're like, what am I even supposed to be doing?
The worst. Makes you want to give up before you even start.
Exactly. And Ackerman, actually, he uses this really good example, graphing calculators.
Oh,
Like
interesting.
in high school. Remember those?
Yeah.
So at first, learning to use the calculator, that adds extraneous load, right?
Right. It's because you're not focused on the math itself.
Exactly. But the idea is once you've mastered the calculator.
Then it frees up mental space
Yes.
to actually focus on the
So
math.
it's a trade-off. At first, it's harder, but later.
It can actually make things easier.
Exactly.
I see.
And this brings us to the third type of load,
Okay.
germane load. This is the good stuff.
Okay, tell me about it.
So this is the mental effort you're using to actually like make connections,
Yes.
understand things deeply, and actually learn.
Ah, so it's the effort that's actually productive.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
So we want to like minimize the extraneous stuff
Yeah.
and maximize this germane load.
Get the most out of learning.
Yeah. But, and this is where it gets even, I don't know, more complex maybe.
Okay.
Ackerman says that even adding like good things to a learning task.
Good things. How
Wow.
can that be bad? Well, so like maybe explicitly stating learning objectives, he says that can actually sometimes increase the overall cognitive load.
Oh, interesting. I always
Yeah.
thought being clear about the goals was helpful.
Well, yeah, but our working memory only has so much capacity, right?
Right,
So
yeah.
even adding helpful things, it still takes up space.
So it's about finding that balance.
Yes, it's like, have you ever tried to pack a suitcase and you keep adding more stuff?
Yeah.
And you're like, I can make it fit, I can make it fit. But eventually,
It bursts.
exactly.
Too much.
So I think that's where CLT is really helpful, is it gives us this way to understand like how to design learning experiences that don't overload people.
Yeah, whether you're a teacher or just trying to learn something yourself.
Right. And I think what's really interesting is this idea of cognitive load. It's not just for school, right?
No, definitely not.
It's like anything where you're processing information.
Exactly. Like navigating a website or even just following a recipe.
Right. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got the three types of cognitive load: intrinsic, extraneous, and germane. Now, let's talk about how to actually put this knowledge to work. So, first up, let's tackle extraneous load. How do we get rid of that stuff? Like, Ackerman really focuses on good design, right?
Yeah. He says that's crucial.
But what does that actually look like?
Well, I think we'll dive into that right after the break.
So, yeah. Good design, that's super important when we're talking about reducing extraneous load.
Okay, so what does that actually look like, though? Like when you're creating actual learning materials?
Well, think about, have you ever used a textbook that it was just awful?
Oh, yeah, a ton.
Like, cram full of text, confusing layout.
Ugh, yeah, just like impossible to focus.
Right. That's like the opposite of good design. It's actually working against the learner.
Because we need like clear layouts, easy to read fonts.
Yeah, visuals that actually help.
Exactly. And it's not just textbooks either, right?
No, not at all. It's like online courses, presentations, even your own notes. Oh man, you know, this reminds me of, I was trying to learn this new coding language online a while back.
Okay.
And the platform was just a nightmare.
Oh no.
So much text, no visuals, like they were trying to make it hard.
It's funny how often that happens.
Yeah.
Like they don't even think about the design.
I know. So frustrating. But okay, let's talk about technology, because we were talking about graphing calculators earlier and how those can actually reduce cognitive load eventually.
Right, yeah.
But how do we make sure technology is helping and not hurting, especially in education?
Well, Ackerman actually talks about this a lot.
Yeah.
He's a big believer in technology's potential, but...
But it has to be done right.
Exactly. Like those calculators, remember.
Yeah.
Once you master them, it's like they unlock this mental space.
Right. You can do harder stuff.
And that applies to other tech, too.
Oh, okay.
Think about software that automates things or those simulations that help you visualize complex things.
Yeah, those are cool.
They can take some of that intrinsic load away.
Oh, I see.
So you can actually, like, focus on the deeper stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I can also see how it could easily go wrong.
Oh, totally.
Like giving students all these gadgets but no training.
Oh, yeah. That would be a disaster.
Right. That wouldn't help anyone.
It's like giving someone a race car but they don't know how to drive.
Exactly. So training is key.
Yeah. Ackerman emphasizes that a lot. It's not just about the tools. It's about knowing how to use them.
Okay. That makes sense. So we've talked about reducing extraneous load, the bad stuff. But how do we get more of that good stuff? The germane load.
Ah, that's the real question, isn't it?
Right. Like, how do we actually make sure our brains are doing the learning, the understanding? Ackerman doesn't give us a super clear answer, does he?
No, not really a step-by-step guide.
Right.
But there are some key ideas that come up.
Okay. So what are some of those?
Well, one of the big ones is that learning has to be active.
Active? What do you mean?
It can't just be, like, passively absorbing information. You have to be doing something with it.
Oh, okay.
Making connections, applying the knowledge.
So less lecture, more hands-on stuff.
Right, exactly. And there are techniques that can help with this.
Like what?
One that Ackerman mentions is retrieval practice.
Retrieval practice?
Yeah, have you heard of that?
No, what is it?
It's basically forcing your brain to remember stuff.
Okay.
So instead of just rereading your notes, you might try like explaining the concept to someone.
Oh, okay.
Like taking a quiz without looking at the answers.
So it's like you're making your brain work harder.
Yeah. And that actually strengthens the learning.
Huh. Interesting. Are there other techniques like that?
Oh, yeah. Tons. Another one is chunking.
Chunking. We've talked about that before with breaking down big tasks into smaller ones.
Yeah. It's similar, but with information instead of tasks.
Oh, okay. I'm following.
Like our working memory can only hold so much at once, right?
Right. That suitcase analogy.
Exactly. So we break the information into smaller pieces. It's easier to process.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Let's say you're learning about, I don't know, parts of the brain.
Okay, yeah.
Instead of trying to memorize all the parts at once, you could chunk them into groups, like lobes, brainstem, cerebellum.
Oh, yeah. That's way easier.
Right. And then you can focus on each chunk separately.
That's actually super helpful. I think I do that sometimes without even realizing it.
And that's the cool thing about CLT.
What's that?
It gives us, like, a language to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
To make better choices about how we learn.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so we've got minimizing the extraneous load, maximizing the germane load. But are they like directly related? Like if you reduce one, does the other one automatically go up?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets to the heart of how our working memory functions.
Okay, so is it a direct trade-off?
Not exactly one-to-one, but they definitely influence each other. Remember that suitcase?
Always the suitcase.
Right. So when we reduce extraneous load, it's like we're making space in the suitcase.
Oh, okay. I see.
But it's not just about making space.
It's about how we use that space.
Exactly. That's where those active learning techniques come in. Chunking, retrieval practice, all that stuff. They help us use that mental space more efficiently.
To really maximize that germane load.
Exactly.
This is making a lot more sense now. It's not just about avoiding overload. It's about actually optimizing the whole process. It's like a user manual for your brain.
I love that. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
So by understanding CLT, we can become more intentional about how we learn.
More mindful.
Yes. And ultimately more successful, right?
Absolutely. Because we're working with our brains, not against them.
I like that. Okay, so we've covered minimizing extraneous load, maximizing germane load, and how they work together. But what about the real world? Like, outside of school, outside of a formal learning environment, how can we use this stuff?
Well, that's actually a really important point, because CLT is really about how our brains work, period.
Right. It's not limited to just, like, studying for a test.
Exactly. It applies to, well, pretty much anything where you're trying to learn or understand something new.
Okay, so give me an example, like a real-world situation.
Okay, so let's say you're trying to learn a new software program. You open the manual, and it's just, like, a wall of text.
Oh, no, I've been there. It's the worst.
Diagrams that make no sense.
And instructions written in some alien language.
Right. Like, what do you even do at that point?
Honestly, I'd probably just close it and go watch TV.
Yeah, it's tempting to give up, for sure. But instead, think about what we've learned about CLT.
Okay.
First, break down the task. Don't try to learn the whole program at once. Pick one feature.
Okay, small chunks.
Exactly. Then look for resources that make sense to you. Maybe a video tutorial or a guide written in plain English.
So it's about taking control of the learning process.
Yes, and finding ways to reduce that extraneous load. Make it easier on your brain.
I like that. And this applies to other stuff too, right?
Oh yeah, totally. Like putting together furniture.
Oh yeah, those instructions are always terrible.
Planning a trip. Learning a new recipe. Anything that feels overwhelming, you can use CLT.
That's amazing. It's like a superpower.
It kind of is.
Okay, so this whole conversation has been so eye-opening. It feels like CLT is something we can use to just, like, live better lives.
I think so, too. It's about understanding our limits and working within them.
Right. Okay, well, I think that's about all the time we have for today.
Yeah, this has been a great conversation.
I agree. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into cognitive load theory. We hope you learned a lot, and most importantly, that you can use these ideas to make learning, well, anything really, a little bit easier.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the deep dive. We've been really digging into this whole cognitive load theory thing.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating, right? How our brains, you know, can only handle so much.
It explains so much, like why sometimes, I don't know, I just feel completely fried after trying to learn something new.
Oh yeah, totally. Information overload.
But the cool thing is CLT isn't just theory. It actually gives us tools to, like, make learning better.
Exactly. Whether you're a student, teacher, or just, you know, trying to figure something out on your own.
Right. So for this last part of our deep dive, let's talk about that. Like, how do we actually use this stuff in real life?
Okay, yeah. Let's get practical.
So imagine you're a student, right? Sitting in a lecture hall, and the professor is just going on and on, information overload central.
Been there.
Right. What can you do in that moment to manage your cognitive load?
Well, I remember when I was a student, my instinct was to try and write down everything.
Oh, yeah, me too. Like, if I didn't get it all in my notes, I'd miss something important.
But honestly, that can actually make things worse.
Real.
Yeah, because you're so focused on just getting the words down,
yeah,
you're not really processing the information.
Oh, okay. So it's like shallow learning, right? You're not really understanding it.
Exactly. So a better approach is to, instead of trying to capture everything, focus on distilling the key ideas.
So be more selective. Like, what are the main points the professor is trying to get across?
Right. Think of yourself as a journalist writing a headline. What's the most important takeaway?
I like that. But how do you actually do that while someone's talking?
Well, one thing that can help is using different note-taking methods.
Different methods?
Yeah. So not just like writing sentences, maybe use bullet points, draw diagrams, or even little doodles.
Doodle.
Yeah. Whatever helps you visualize the information and make sense of it. It's about finding what works for your brain.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not just about what you're writing, it's how you're organizing it.
Exactly. Okay, so that's for students.
Yeah.
But what about educators? How can they use CLT?
Yeah, like how do you design a lesson or a course that doesn't overload students?
Well, we've talked about good design, right?
Right, clear layouts, concise language, all that.
Yeah, that's all still crucial. But there are also instructional strategies that can help, like remember chunking.
Chunking, yeah. Breaking things down into smaller pieces.
Exactly. So if you're teaching a complex topic, don't just throw the whole thing at them at once.
Break it up. Give them time to process each part.
Right. And give them opportunities to practice, to apply what they've learned before moving on.
Makes sense. So it's like building a house, right? Brick by brick.
Perfect analogy.
Okay.
Another strategy is scaffolding.
Scaffolding?
Yeah, it's like providing support for students while they're learning.
Oh, okay, I've heard of that. Like giving them extra help at first and then gradually fading it out as they get more confident.
Exactly. And CLT can help you figure out how much scaffolding is needed because too much can actually be a bad thing.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, if you're doing too much for them, they're not really engaging with the material themselves.
Ah, so they're not really learning.
Right. It's all about finding that balance. Enough support to prevent them from getting overwhelmed, but not so much that they become passive.
Challenge and support.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've covered students and teachers, but what about, you know, everyone else?
Good point.
Yeah.
Because we're all learning all the time, right?
Yeah, constantly, whether we realize it or not.
So how can we use CLT in everyday life?
Yeah, give me an example.
Okay, let's say you're trying to, I don't know, learn a new software program.
Oh, I'm already feeling overwhelmed.
Right. You open the manual and it's just this dense, confusing mess. Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Well, usually I just give up and find something else to do.
I hear you. Yeah. But instead of giving up, think about CLT.
Okay.
First, break down the task. Instead of trying to learn the whole program, pick one feature you want to learn.
Okay, small chunks.
Right. Then find a resource that explains it clearly. Maybe a video tutorial or a blog post, something that's easy to understand.
So it's about taking control of the learning process, finding ways to make it less overwhelming.
Exactly. And you can apply that same principle to all sorts of things, putting together furniture, planning a trip, even learning a new recipe.
Wow, that's really cool. It's like CLT gives us a framework for approaching any kind of learning challenge.
That's a great way to put it. It's about understanding how your brain works and working with it, not against it.
I love that. Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground today. We talked about the three types of cognitive load, how to minimize extraneous load and maximize germane load. We talked about how educators can design better learning experiences.
And how all of us can use these principles to become more efficient learners no matter what we're trying to learn.
Absolutely. This has been such a great conversation.
I agree. Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on the Deep Dive. We hope you learned some valuable things today. Keep those cognitive load principles in mind, and happy learning.